It was said many times in the election campaign, and it does appear to be true. Abortion is a settled issue in Canada, and that's not likely to change. Access to abortion, however, is a different thing entirely. Access to abortion in Canada depends on where you live. It also depends on whomever is currently running your provincial government being willing to go beyond the bare minimum of not restricting the procedure. And a lot of governments are not willing to do that. And that brings us to Clinic 554 in Fredericton, New Brunswick, and a story about how difficult it can be to provide health care to people who need health care, even in a place that has a desperate demand for doctors. Because yes, Clinic 554 performs abortions. But that's far from the only thing they do. It is, however, the thing that might force their doors closed. Again. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story. Sarah Ratchford is a writer based in New Brunswick who told the story of Clinic 554 at flare.com. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going well. It's going better out here than abortion in New Brunswick, I guess. Can you just start by telling us what exactly Clinic 554 is?
Sure. So Clinic 554 is a small family medical practice downtown Fredericton, New Brunswick. It has a big rainbow painted on the outside of it, and it focuses on sort of general and sexual health care, as well as health care for queer and trans people. And it is the only private abortion clinic in New Brunswick.
How long has it been open for?
Clinic 554 has been around in various iterations for many years. It used to be in existence as the Morgenthaler Clinic, and that was actually shut down a few years ago due to a lack of funding, similar to that which is being faced right now by Clinic 554.
What happened when it closed before, and how did it reopen?
When the Morgenthaler Clinic closed, essentially the community was quite afraid because a lot of its healthcare services were being erased. So what happened was the community really sort of galvanized and came together to raise money to reopen the clinic under a new name. And most of that money was raised by women and trans folks in New Brunswick.
What kind of support does it get from the province?
Clinic 554 doesn't have any provincial support right now, and that's why it's in danger of closure. So the Premier, Blaine Higgs, and the Health Minister, Ted Fleming, have been refusing to answer calls from advocates looking to keep the clinic open on Facebook. So these advocates are tagging politicians, and politicians are going in and untagging themselves. The health department won't talk about this at all. All it will say is just that private clinics aren't funded in New Brunswick, and those who are looking to get a surgical abortion can travel to Moncton or Bathurst if they don't already live in those areas.
What is the bigger picture? And this is one of the reasons that we wanted to talk to you, because you've been on this for a while. What is the bigger picture just about access to abortion in New Brunswick in the area?
Access to abortion in New Brunswick doesn't look the same way as it does in other provinces. So basically, if you're looking to access a surgical abortion, you have to go to one of three hospitals in the province, and those are located in Moncton and in Bathurst, respectively. So if you don't already live in these areas and you're looking to get an abortion, you can only get a first trimester abortion at these hospitals, and so you have to travel there. So this means that you have to organize childcare for yourself, you have to get time off work, you have to organize accommodations in the town that you have to travel to, because, I mean, realistically, after a surgical procedure like that, oftentimes people need a little rest, right? They can't just go on with their day sometimes. So that's kind of some of the barriers that are in place. And right now, the only place outside of those hospitals to get abortion is this one private clinic in Fredericton, which is in danger of closing. A couple of governments ago, they made some improvements on this, and they started to provide government-funded Mifepristone, which is a medical-induced abortion, right? It's a pill that you take to induce an abortion at home. Right. But advocates are saying that these aren't super available either. So what's happening is the pill is covered by the government. but the healthcare provider's time in administering that pill to you is not always covered in full. So it's covered a little bit, but anyone who might need counseling or a little bit of additional healthcare sometimes is falling through the cracks. So what advocates are saying is that basically it's folks on salary, so nurse practitioners who are providing this with more frequency, right? Because physicians who bill per service, not all of their time is covered. Unfortunately. Yeah. So yeah, it doesn't look very good. It's not really an accessible service here.
How did it get that way?
So it's basically always been that way. The environment in New Brunswick is still quite socially and religiously conservative. So I think politicians have a sense that maybe those who vote for them don't want this service to be available, right? Which I don't think is necessarily true. I think it's true on behalf of some people, but reproductive justice is a personal choice, right? So if some folks don't believe in abortion, that's, I think, a separate issue from making it unavailable for the people who need to access it, right? So yeah, it's just always been this way. And government after government sort of dresses the status quo of abortion being available in these two cities and not funded elsewhere. It's always been this way. And nothing is really seeming to change, right? Like the Provincial Health Authority said that they would come in and put pressure on the government to make sure these services are covered. But we really haven't heard much news. And that was a couple of weeks ago.
What kinds of things are being done either behind the scenes or, I guess, publicly to try to save the clinic?
There's been a huge public push on behalf of activists to keep this clinic open. So there are rallies, there are protests, people are attending board meetings for the Provincial Health Authority, Horizon Health. People are exerting political pressure on the Department of Health and on the Premier. But as I said, some of those calls for help are being ignored, if not the majority of those calls. And so it really seems to be community fighting for its own health care as opposed to the government stepping in and providing that health care.
Has the government given any reason or justification or explanation beyond simply like we don't pay for private health care? And is that consistent even across the board?
The response that they don't pay for private health care is consistent across the board. So each department I spoke to, the Department of Health, as well as the Premier's office, said that, right? They said this is a private thing and we don't fund it. They also say that as far as they've assessed, the access that's available right now in Moncton and Bathurst is enough. They say if people need abortion, they can go there. And that's sort of the end of the story.
But abortion isn't the only service that this clinic provides.
No, abortion is not the only service this clinic provides. So this clinic is a family doctor clinic to 3,000 patients, and about 1,000 of those are part of the LGBTQ community. And these people go to this clinic because Dr. Adrian Edgar, who is the clinic doctor, is really well-informed in this area, and he can provide pretty adequate, compassionate care to trans and queer people. It provides services to those people. It provides abortion services, and it also provides general and sexual health care. So basically, these 3,000 patients will be without a family doctor if this clinic closes, and they'll be forced to rely on the ER because there's a backlog of about 20,000 patients right now waiting for a family doctor. So these people will all just sort of be waiting in line with everyone else.
Well, that was going to be my next question anyway, is like, why is this clinic in such danger if there is a huge shortage of doctors in this province?
That's a great question, honestly. And I asked the Premier, you know, what are these people supposed to do? And his response was just kind of that, look, Dr. Edgar can go ahead and open another clinic or like work elsewhere and keep providing care to these people. So I don't know why they wouldn't just fund the clinic that he already has open. But that's something that I'm trying to understand a little better myself, to be honest.
Was this an issue in the election? I mean, I can't imagine that federal campaigners weren't asked about this.
Yeah. So interestingly, the impending closure of the clinic was announced 2 weeks before the election. And there was one protest that Elizabeth May attended. And Justin Trudeau has pledged his help on this one, or at least during the election period, he pledged his help. And he said, if Mr. Higgs will not sit down with community or, you know, other elected officials and work on a way to keep this clinic open or otherwise provide care for these patients, that he himself would step in and ensure that these discussions are had in the province. Activists are saying saying that they've reached out to Mr. Trudeau's office and that they're not receiving a response.
I mean, I can kind of hear it in your voice, but what's it like when you talk to people in the community that this clinic serves? It sounds frustrating, to say the least.
This is a dark story to begin with. People are not receiving the health care that they need, and that's a pretty dangerous situation. But I think a part of this that gets missed is that people are going to take their health into their own hands. It's not as though this clinic's closure will enforce people to birth hordes of children that they didn't plan on. What will happen is people will induce abortion themselves. I've heard in recent years stories about people throwing themselves down flights of stairs or taking medication or poison to induce abortions in the Maritimes. So when you see that coat hanger and you see the slogan, never again, horrific things like that could potentially happen here with greater frequency if this clinic is closed. So I think people are really scared and nervous, but at the same time, activists are trying to take the tone that they don't make government upset and thereby unwilling to provide this service, or even more unwilling. It's a scary time.
Do we have any idea, like, what happens next and when? Is there a deadline for this? Is there a next step somewhere?
I'm not really sure what happens next. At this point, Horizon Health has pledged its support. It's supposed to be exerting a little pressure on government to step in and actually provide these services or make sure these services can be provided. But yeah, there's no real deadline or anything. Basically, activists say that it's up to the community to put pressure on our elected officials and actually get some attention drawn to this issue.
Well, what has the local coverage in the media been like? Is this an issue? Like, is this a front page story, or is this something that's just always in danger?
This isn't a front page story so much as just something that media addresses every so often as it comes up. Like, if there's something to say about it, you'll find a report on CTV or on CBC, but it's not something that journalists go after with a lot of energy, I don't think, because in a lot of ways, it's not news. This has been the state of affairs for a really long time. So unless there's something to support, or unless there's something to report that articulate some sort of change, I think people aren't just really on it. And then at the same time, you know, as I mentioned, it's such a conservative place that I think there's the idea that people don't want to hear about this, right? But that idea is obviously mistaken.
What is it like for the people who are fighting to keep this clinic open, to have to kind of continually do this? I mean, you mentioned this is not the first time that, you know, people have had to rally around this clinic, and it's never safe.
What happens when people spend a lot of unpaid time in advocacy for their own rights is that they become burnt out, right? So people right now are hanging on by a thread, doing all of this unpaid advocacy work, and they're getting stressed out, right? You can only do that for so long. And I don't really think the onus should be on people with uteruses to drum up some support for their own healthcare.
As someone who's covered it before, what's your gut feeling about this time? Is it different from the last times? Will we have the same sort of public saving, I guess, of the clinic? Or do we need somebody at a higher level to step in? And will that happen?
I think at this point, what's needed is someone else to step in. I think at this point, what's being called for is provincial support and funding, since provinces are responsible for healthcare in Canada, because the community can't just keep funding this out of its own pocket, right? Like, people just don't have the money to keep donating to their healthcare clinics to keep the doors open. And doctors are not able to provide these services free of charge, which is what happens when folks can't pay out of pocket for them. So yeah, I think this time around, government support is needed. And I don't think people are going to give up. I mentioned people get tired and they get burnt out, but there's a strength in this community, right? Because it's necessary. If we don't receive the health care that we need, we're in danger. I think for trans people, some trans people who get pregnant, it's a very off-putting experience because maybe you feel that this isn't something that your body should be doing, right? Like, it can be a big challenge for your identity. And people in those communities are people who receive care at this clinic, right? And it's people like that who will fall through the cracks when they have to rely on the ER or rely on a walk-in clinic that doesn't know them.
What is it like? Have you talked to any of the trans folks who have used this clinic about the difference between using it and using the traditional services at a hospital?
I've talked trans folks who are spokespeople in these movements. So for Reproductive Justice New Brunswick and for Save the Clinic. And I'm not sure that either of them has received care there, but I know they've really articulated that there are a lot of different realities here, and that at the clinic you can go and you can be sure that somebody is going to respect your pronouns, respect your needs, respect the way that you refer to your own body, and not just make assumptions about how that body should function, right? So there's a sensitivity there that takes a lot of training and reading and talking to people and a lot of empathy. And that's what, as far as my understanding goes, Dr. Adrian Edgar has. Whereas if you go to another clinic, and I mean, I'm non-binary myself, so I can speak to that experience in New Brunswick, you know, you're always, always labeled as a woman if you're an assigned female person, right? They right. speak about she wants this, she wants that. You know, the default understanding is that you want to become pregnant at some point, right? At a lot of clinics and with a lot of family doctors. And so that's the kind of judgmental behavior that you won't experience at this clinic. So that's as far as my understanding goes, at least as a non-binary person who's spoken with some trans people who advocate for the clinic.
Well, Sarah, thank you for trying to walk us through what's going on there today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for covering the story.
That was Sarah Ratchford, and that was also The Big Story. And if you'd like more, you can go to thebigstorypodcast.ca. They're all there, every one of them. We're also on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN. You can talk to us, yell at us, scream at us, troll us about abortion. You know some people will. And of course, everywhere you get podcasts, go there, get us, rate us, review us. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.